Association for Women in Mathematics and Fields Institute for giving me this opportunity to come to Toronto, enjoy the great weather, and attend this exciting conference, and last but not least, be present for the celebration of Kathleen's 85th birthday. So let me begin by wishing Kathleen a very happy birthday. And the title, the trick is how many randoms can you get into a title? I could have said large random deviations. I missed that opportunity, but next time I'll remember. So I'm going to describe some work that I've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years with some of my past students and current students and so on, whose names are listed here. And there is some very early work by Carolyn Schroeder, which has some relevance to these problems. So, what we start with simple PDE operated on RD, just Laplacian with a first order term. The first order term is periodic of period 1 in each variable. And I want to look at the space of positive harmonic functions relative to this operator. So I'm looking for u that's positive and Lu is equal to 0 on all of Rd. Now, of course, there is at least one is non-empty because 0 is there. And constants are there, maybe there isn't anything else. I mean, if B is 0, there isn't anything else. Because the harmonic theorem. Now, there is a general theory, Schottky theory, which tells you that the set of positive harmonic functions is a convex cone, it has extremals, and you have a representation in terms of extrema. So it will be interesting to find out what the extreme points of this set of positive harmonic functions are. Now, I had this talk all prepared, and then I listened to Peter's talk, and then I realized I had to somehow non-linearize it. Okay. So now I went and put an extra slide, and so I'll. So I'm going to make u equals u to the v, because I want u to be positive. So I'll make u to be u to the v, and then I'll write the equation for v. So now I have a nonlinear equation to solve. But actually, this is not quite a joke. There is some point in doing it. We'll come to it in a while. Or I can think of g as the gradient of v and write the equation for g. Now, it gets even messier. G is now several components. Curl should be 0, and it should satisfy that equation. It's a first order equation for g. Now, this problem is very complicated, nonlinear problem all of a sudden. Okay. So the extreme points are not that hard to analyze. If u is an extremum, and if ei is a unit vector in some direction, then the translate in that direction, because the coefficients are periodic, is also a solution. And then Harnack's inequality tells you that the translate is dominated by a constant times the original one. And one of the properties of extreme points is that if you have something that's dominated by an extreme point, then it has to be a multiple of it. So that means a combination of Harnack inequality and the property of extremality tells you that U, when translated by a period, is a multiple of itself if it's an extreme point. So it's essentially a Floquet theory in higher dimensions. So if you take a linear function, which you defined to be the correct amount to compensate for the multiple that you get, then if you take define W in this manner, W is actually periodic. So any extremal harmonic function is a periodic function times an exponential. Now it's clear why we did what we did, because if you take the logarithmic gradient of U, that's actually periodic. You see, U itself doesn't have to be periodic. Log U won't be periodic, but the gradient of log U is periodic. So the G that we introduced earlier would actually be a periodic solution. Okay. Now, of course, you can prescribe a lambda and see is there a solution which is asymptotic, whose log is asymptotic to that linear function. If lambda is 0, then W equals 1 is the solution. For most linear functionals, W equal to 0 may be the only solution. So for a given lambda, if W exists, it's essentially unique, essentially in the sense that you can always multiply W by a constant. And it's extremal, and you can write down an equation that W should satisfy. It'll, because you're multiplying by an exponential times U, you would get the lower order terms would change a little bit. If you write it down, you still get a linear equation with a zeroth order term, and you're looking at positive solutions of this, and you know that the set of solutions is either zero dimensional or one dimensional. How do you determine for which lambdas you have a solution? What's the way of determining it? Let's look at a simple example, some simple examples. If B is zero, then you just have the Laplacian. And you know that the Laplacian has no positive harmonic functions. So lambda equals 0. If B equals 0, only choice is lambda equals 0. If B is a constant, non-zero constant, then you can check that the lambdas all lie on a circle, and you can write down the equation for it. Just the solutions are just exponentials, W's are just constants, and you plug in an exponential and you check out what lambda solves the equation, and you get a non-trivial set of lambdas. And this has something to do with large deviations. It has something to do with large deviations because this function, 1 half lambda squared plus b lambda equal to that function, and I'm looking at just the left-hand side of it, forget about equal to 0. So if you look at Brownian motion with a drift, B, and you compute the expected value of the growth of this exponential, and it's just a simple calculation you can do, it's 1 half lambda squared plus lambda B. Just a Gaussian integral you can compute. So this function really is the exponential growth rate of something, and the exponential growth rates are all connected with large deviations in some form or the other. Okay. Now, so let's go back a little bit. Now, we saw that, at least in the Brownian motion case, that the function that determines the set of lambdas is given by some exponential, the exponential growth of some expectation. The next question is, what about the solution, which is the exponential, which is the positive harmonic function? Does it have any interpretation? What is its role in the large deviation theory? So for that, the question we want to ask is, it will be related to how does the process behave? See, typically, if you have a stochastic process with a drift, it's going to drift in some direction, and you wait for a long time, and if some kind of law of large number holds, it's going to go linearly in some direction, maybe a little bit oscillations around it. But you can, some other direction totally different from this direction, with a different speed, could be the same direction, but faster or slower. And if you insist that you go along this path, then something changes. The qualitatively, the process is different. And so you can ask the question, conditioning this process to behave in this abnormal manner, how does it affect the behavior of the process? How did this process get to behave in other aspects? So those are conditional properties of conditional distributions, and these conditional distributions, especially if you condition with respect to events with very small probability, are qualitatively very different from the original process. And that's what we want to aim at. So now let's go back to our periodic case. And I want to define this function psi lambda to be the limit as t goes to infinity of the expectation. Of course, now it's no longer computable because it's not constant coefficient anymore. And in order to compute the expected value of e to the lambda xt, I have to solve a Cauchy problem whose initial value is e to the lambda x, and then see how the solution goes. Anyway, it's one knows that the limit exists, and that's the function psi lambda, and psi is a convex function. So by convex duality, for any value m, there is the conjugate point lambda star, which is m, which is defined by duality through this convex function psi. So if you look at a positive solution of value equals psi lambda u, and that will have a solution u which is positive, and that will in fact be a harmonic function. Well, I've added a constant term to it. It's not quite a harmonic function. It's a harmonic function for L minus psi. Okay. If psi lambda is 0, it's actually a harmonic function for L. So the harmonic function somehow corresponds to the 0 set for psi lambda, but there are other positive functions with the non-zero term, zeroth order term psi lambda thrown in. So if you want to know how the process that is conditioned to go with speed m behaves, it's going to behave also like Brownian motion with a drift, but the drift will be different. The new drift, b tilde, will be B perturbed by the logarithmic gradient of U. Okay? And this is what's called the H transform. The reason it's called H transform is because the canonical notation is not U but H. So I should now call it the U transform and not the H transform. Now, psi lambda has a variational formula, which is, okay, the original problem had the operator was 1/2 Laplacian plus b times the gradient. Now, I can change the gradient from b to c, any c I want. If I change it, then I have a new problem. And for the new problem, I look at the adjoint problem. The adjoint problem will have a positive density normalized to be 1. And then I compute the following quantities, which is the mean drift in the direction C. But the drift C is to be averaged with respect to the solution of that equation. So although it's written as if MC is linear, it's not quite linear because the FC depends also on C. Okay. And then you compute HC, which is somehow the, you change B to C, the price you had to pay for changing B to C, the cost, so to speak, is the square of B minus C integrated against the solution of the equation, adjoint equation. And then psi lambda has the following variational formula, which comes from large deviations, because you know, HC is the large deviation rate for something or other happening, and then there is a natural variational formula for this. Now, you've actually, where B happens, where a gradient, the original B, then this variational formula would be essentially equivalent to the Rayleigh-Ritz variational formula for an eigenvalue. But in general, it doesn't have to be. So the supremum in this variational formula is precisely attained at the C. The C at which the supremum is attained is really B tilde. So if you compute B minus C, that will be the logarithmic gradient of the U that we had before. So this is the general story for the periodic situation. So now I want to proceed to the random environment case. Random environment means the B you can think of as a stochastic process, a stationary process. If you translate by any amount, the distributions will change. And you know, you have you know, you want to define a Markov process on P the way they define a Markov process on P is if you have this random drift on omega. Omega, think of omega let me go back a little bit. So the setup is you have a space omega in which there is a sigma field and a probability measure, and there is a one parameter family of translations. So Rd acts on omega. Okay. So if Rd acts on omega, then you have translation, one parameter translation groups, and these one parameter translation groups will have infinitesimal generators. So there is a nabla on omega. At least L2 functions with respect to P. P is an invariant measure for translation, so the translation group is a unitary group, So nabla is a self-adjoint operator on L2 omega. So you have one nabla, you can square it, so there is a Laplacian 2. So there is a Brownian motion in omega which is wandering around, which is very simple. You just take a Brownian motion on Rd and lift it up by letting the translation act on it. So what it is like is like a one-dimensional translation in a two-dimensional torus. You go round and round, you know, except this omega is infinite dimensional and the ergodic theory is much more complicated. If this were the almost periodic setup or quasi-periodic setup, it will be like in a higher dimensional torus. This is sort of the general abstract version of that. Okay. So that's what the motion there is obtained by a starting point omega and translating by just some path on Rd, and the Rd path of your standard diffusion corresponding to B. So, and similarly you can define this process, but locally it's just an image of Rd, sort of bent, and it's just the movement in Rd is lifted up there, but the ergodic theory is much more complicated because the thing keeps winding round and round. But still it's true that psi lambda, which is the limit, exists. Almost surely. And you assume P is ergodic, then the limit is almost surely independent of omega and defines a function psi lambda. The difficulty is, if you want to give a variational formula for psi lambda now, the adjoint problem does not always have a solution because you have lost the ellipticity. Lifting it up is okay, but if you did it, then your Laplacian is still only d-dimensional in an infinite dimensional space, and so you don't have the ellipticity anymore. So the adjoint equation does not necessarily have a solution. But, you know, but the adjoint problem may not have a solution for a given B. But if you change the B to a C, maybe the solution will exist. The solution will not exist for all Cs, but the solution will exist for some Cs. It's very easy to construct examples for which the solution exists, because what you can do is you can take the solution and find the problem for which it's a solution. Every problem may not have a solution, but every solution has a problem. So you can define a variational formula just over the limited class of Cs. So you have exactly the variational, the analog of the variational formula that we have here, except the C is taken over only those for which FC exists. Then the result is still true. Now we want to know what's the connection with harmonic functions. If you want to look at the connection harmonic functions, then the problem is much more complicated. Because now you're looking to construct functions. You know, it's not clear these solutions exist, and if they exist, see, Harnack is gone. You don't see the principal tool there was when you translated by a period, you got a multiple. So the Floquet theory doesn't exist anymore, and you can't really translate a random environment and match it exactly. So that tool is out. So in order to make life a little simpler, we switch gears a little bit, and instead of a diffusion on Rd, you look at just random walks on Zd. Qualitatively the problem is the same, but some of the problems of regularity and smoothness and so on you can avoid at this stage. So now you have transition probabilities, pi omega z, and it's exactly the analogous thing, the translation invariant, there is a discrete action of ZD which is measure preserving, and you have a corresponding theory. In this case, there is a corresponding variational formula. Everything is exactly the same. Now your harmonic function is just solutions of a bunch of linear equations. Okay. The goal is to show that for almost all omega, the convex set of positive harmonic functions has extreme points. They are canonically identified with the set of zeros of psi lambda. That's what we had in the periodic case, and that's what we would like to have in this case. And just as in the periodic case, what you need is this identity, which is expresses the fact that it's harmonic. So again, you do the half-Cole transformation trick again, that make sure you need a positive function. So you take the ratio, and then there's an analog of curl being zero, which is just a sort of a loop condition, that if you add over any closed loop, it should be zero. And your equation for harmonic function becomes this. So what you're looking for is a solution of this kind, and then the fact that it should grow linearly in a certain direction, in this case becomes just the expected value of V should be lambda. Then by the ergodic theorem, it guarantees that asymptotically it's linear in that direction. So these are the things that you are interested in. So we want to show that V exists if and only if psi lambda equal to zero, and you want to construct the way to construct harmonic function from the V. You start from some point and you make it normalize there to be one, and then you can just by summing over any path, you can get a value, and since the sum over loops is zero, you get, it's no different from the continuous case in principle. So for a given lambda, you want to prove that V is unique. And then you want to show that any extreme point must arise in this manner. This is the program, and it's at this point, it's only as one might say, it's a gleam in one's eye. Okay, we're very far away from completing the program, so I'll tell you what is known as of now. It's known that psi lambda has to be zero, that if psi lambda is not zero, you're not going to have any chance. So these positive harmonic functions only exist when lambda is chosen to be a zero of psi lambda. Then a relaxed solution exists. What do I mean by a relaxed solution? See, for each omega, you have to construct this. But what has happened is, if you look at it, for each omega, the set of solutions is a set. That's a random set, and the random set moves with omega, okay, and it moves covariantly, and that's just a simple property, and so on. And your ability to choose a function of omega which is covariant is your ability to choose a cross-section. And in ergodic theory, choosing covariant cross-sections is a mess. Okay. So the way you avoid the problem is you go around as many times as you want and create a fuzz instead of just a given cross-section. So the so there is another randomization involved. That's what is meant by relaxed solution. So what you have is a joint distribution of W and omega, so that it's what you get for each W is always a solution for the corresponding omega, but you don't have one solution, you have a measure on the set of solutions. But anyway, that's enough to prove existence. To prove existence, if there's more than one, well and good. But You don't get it for every zero. See, once you go into the random domain, the psi lambda may not be strictly convex. So it may have flat pieces, and flat pieces give you trouble. So long as you are, you look at the convex set psi lambda less than or equal to zero, so long as you have a lambda which is an extreme point of that convex set, you have a solution. Uniqueness is known only in a very special case. So it's really a perturbative result. You take a deterministic case. If there is no randomness, there is no problem. It's essentially like dealing with constant coefficients. So you perturb it. That means you assume the noise is small. You assume lambda is also small. So in the tiny little beast, there's a perturbative argument which gives you uniqueness, and the whole theory can be done in that context. So other than that, not much is known. Okay? Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry.
I was waiting for somebody else. Hello.
Is anything known of B as quasi-periodic?
No. Thank you,
Louis, because it reminds me slightly of open matter theory, which is a funny thing. Which is, I want an solution which is an asymptotic slope, but which has a period on a lattice different from the underlying period. That's what you're asking. That's one of the things you're asking for.
Why is this one of the things that I...